From pop culture to politics, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Another great day, another great year, another great decade. And a decade beginning with the demise of one of America's most dangerous, most evil terrorist enemies. Is that a good thing, or does it bring us closer to war? I'm referring, of course, to the death of Qassem Soleimani, General Qassem Soleimani, who basically directed terrorist operations for the Iranian despotism all around the world. What does it mean? We will get to that in just a moment. We will also be talking about the idea that men in general, of all races, all ages, have become the most disadvantaged group in America. There's a professor who is arguing that. We will get to that. Also, a year end or year beginning wrap up of movies in anticipation of the Golden Globes and others. But the biggest issue, of course, has to do with what just happened in Iran at Tehran International Airport. Here to help put it in perspective, a friend and a great friend of the show and one of the clearest thinkers on American foreign and security policy, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, a retired Army intelligence officer who was the author of many books, including most recently Darkness at Chancellorsville, which is a novel that people will enjoy reading. Ralph, you've had a time to try to digest everything that has happened here. Is this a reason for celebration or for trepidation?
Killing Qassem Soleimani is 100% good. President Trump got this one right. And Michael, you know, I'm not a supporter of President Trump, but when he does something right, we need to give him credit.
Amen.
And General Soleimani should have been killed years ago, 15 years ago, when he started killing American troops in Iraq. I argued we should kill him. And the Bush administration was already drinking out of a fire hose. They didn't want it. The Obama administration comes along. Qassem Soleimani is still killing Americans. Well, Obama doesn't do anything. And, you know, he's really the key man responsible for the current mess, as opposed to the previous mess in the Middle East. But bottom line is this. When President Trump authorized the killing of General Qassem Soleimani, the Iranian master terrorist, and that's what he was. Even though he wore a military uniform, he was a master terrorist and a brilliant one. By giving that authorization, President Trump enhanced American security in the long term. In the short term, Iran will be pressed to at least symbolic and perhaps bloody retaliation, and we'll whack him back. It's not going to be World War III. But in the long term, Soleimani is going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to replace. This man was a genius of terror. Now, you take somebody like al-Baghdadi, the ISIS leader, dynamic, volatile, flamboyant, and he flamed out and he's dead. Now, Soleimani's dead, but he's had a long run. And because we neglected to take action early on, think of what he did. We keep hearing the statistic. He killed 608 Americans that we know of. He may have been behind some of the other deaths. When you add the Americans wounded and maimed and who bled because of Soleimani, and also in Afghanistan and elsewhere, he's got more American blood on his hands probably than Osama bin Laden did. But beyond his attacks on us, he's responsible, along with the Russians, for backing the Syrian regime in their near-genocidal attacks on the Syrian people. He's responsible for depositing more and more missiles, now 40,000 in Lebanon and 10,000 in Gaza, to be used against Israel. He has never stopped trying to harm Israel with his dream of destroying it. He has destabilized Yemen. He's been acting in Afghanistan as well. And I believe that when we hit him, within the last 24 hours, he had returned to Iraq to engineer basically a de facto takeover of the Iraqi government by the Iranians. And the Shia, the Shia religion is, of course, shared by some Arabs in Iraq, the majority, actually, and the Iranians. and this was supposed to be a Shia takeover, and I think we may have prevented it. We certainly made it more difficult. And I could go on and on and on and on, but Michael, the bottom line is this. As I've listened to various shows today, I've heard people again and again politicizing this. This is about America's security. And sad to say, the Democrats have been stretching to say that, oh, the skies are going to fall. This is terrible. Trump has endangered Americans. Look, Americans were dying. This guy was killing them for over 15 years. And so I hear all this about what might happen. And I didn't hear much about what did happen, what is happening, and what would continue to happen had we not taken Soleimani out. Now, actions have consequences. The Iranians will in some form try to react. But inaction also has consequences. And in this case, our long inaction against Soleimani, the cost was hundreds of dead Americans, thousands of wounded and maimed Americans, tens and hundreds of thousands of dead Syrians, a destabilized Middle East, and of course, the enduring threat to Israel. So, hey, I am perfectly willing to crack open a bottle of champagne on this one.
Okay, in terms of the Iranian regime, which is a regime which reports are authoritatively now that they've killed at least 1,000 of their own citizens because of unrest there. There are a lot of so-called experts. They may, in fact, be experts. They may be right, who are saying that because of the death of Soleimani, that there will be a rally around the flag impact in Iran, that a lot of the protesters against this evil regime will either pull back or be tamped down or will rally behind the government. Your best guess?
Well, that is an intellectually lazy argument. We hear it all the time. No matter what we do against Iran, people say it's going to strengthen the regime. We don't know. As history develops, as international affairs unfold, they are not linear. It's not A plus B, therefore C. Sometimes it's A plus B, L, or R. And so we may see a brief rally around the regime, certainly from the diehards, but is the death of Soleimani going to turn Iranian resistors in favor of the mullahs and the oppression they've been suffering? Unlikely. In fact, contrary to the idea of strengthening the regime, Soleimani's death may, and I say I may, in the long term, weaken the regime significantly because he was generally acknowledged to be the second most powerful man in Iran. I've always suspected he was in many ways the most powerful. And by the way, I'll go back to what I said earlier. This man was a brilliant terrorist mastermind. I'd argue he was as close to a strategic genius as we've seen in that region, and for a long, long time. And you don't replace Einstein with a high school science teacher, as much as I respect high school science teachers.
Okay, and
the
question becomes, are they likely to have a succession crisis? Because obviously the supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, is in his 80s. He has had some serious health issues very recently. Apparently, just moments ago, they say that there was footage of him visiting the widow and the four children of General Soleimani. But with Soleimani gone, does simply the lack of a clear successor to the Ayatollah Khamenei weaken the regime?
Well, they're trying to set up Khamenei's son. And there may be a succession struggle. We just don't know. We don't have the deep insight into the regime, what gets said by the mullahs and ayatollahs behind closed doors. But Soleimani, well, they named his deputy, Brigadier General Ghani. They named him to replace Soleimani officially. But again, an official replacement isn't necessarily an effective replacement for somebody as imaginative, incisive, and as charismatic as Soleimani is. So, look, my fear is always that we talk ourselves into a scenario, or we talk ourselves into what we want to believe. And it's a great danger. You know, the left is now talking itself into the idea that Trump can't do anything right, whereas the right, of course, saying Trump can't do anything wrong. And I'm just a great believer in looking at every event on its own terms and judging it as with as much intellectual honesty as you can. And when we do that, if we really bring integrity to bear on what happened in Baghdad last night, President Trump gets a big round of applause for killing someone who has killed a lot of Americans.
Well, not just President Trump, but whoever executed this strike.
Sure, it was a drone strike.
But with such a level of precision and professionalism, apparently there was no collateral damage that we've heard of, and not even at an international airport, a disruption of civilian aviation. I mean, isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah, I believe we let them get outside the airport perimeter and then hit them. But and there were all sorts of qualifiers. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just thinking today that, you know, back in my day, I passed for a really good intelligence officer. But the stuff we did was primitive compared to the brilliant work that our intelligence personnel have learned to do under the stresses of wartime. I mean, our intelligence system is just magnificent. And, you know, and I'll, you know, prove that I'm even-handed here, President Trump's attacks on the intelligence system have been ugly, dishonest, dangerous, and just plain wrong.
And maybe they will stop. I know you have to stop because you are committed to go elsewhere. But it is a great pleasure to have the honor of speaking with you on a day that I think Americans should celebrate as a triumph for our military and for the country at large. Ralph Peters is a longtime Army intelligence officer, a longtime contributor to Fox News, where he was a national security expert. He is the author of many books. We've posted his most recent at our website at michaelmedved.com. Ralph, Godspeed and Happy New Year to you and to your family.
And to you, Michael.
Thank you. Yes, let's go live. President Trump is speaking. Let's go live to the President of the United States.
The best military by far anywhere in the world. We have the best intelligence in the world. If Americans anywhere are threatened, we have all of those targets already fully identified, and I am ready and prepared to take whatever action is necessary. And that in particular refers to Iran. Under my leadership, we have destroyed the ISIS territorial caliphate. And recently, American Special Operations Forces killed the terrorist leader known as al-Baghdadi. The world is a safer place without these monsters. America will always pursue the interests of good people, great souls, while seeking peace, harmony, and friendship with all of the nations of the world. Thank you. God bless you. God bless our great military, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much.
That was the President of the United States, I believe, he concluding his remarks. Do we have the first part of President Trump's remarks to play? We will get them to play the full statement by the president. Look, I think that one of the things that Colonel Peters was talking about moments ago is extraordinarily important, is that we all know America's divided. We all know we're in the middle of a presidential election. I think it's foolish to focus everything that we do, say, think, or even feel through the lens of politics and political divisions. Because one thing that Americans ought to acknowledge, Soleimani was an enemy of the United States. He was very committed to the destruction of the United States. And he had completely embraced a murderous ideology that connected him and his operations to Hezbollah, one of the most bloody and evil terrorist groups in the world, the same terrorist group that was responsible for killing Marines at a U.S. embassy in Beirut, and then in their barracks in Beirut, Lebanon, 30 years ago, actually closer to 40 years ago. And the idea that Soleimani is gone is something that Americans ought to applaud. What I find a bit depressing is some of the responses by leading Democrats. For instance, Chris Murphy, the Democratic senator from Connecticut, said in a statement that Soleimani was an enemy of the United States. That's not a question. The question is this. As reports suggest, did America just assassinate without any congressional authorization the second most powerful person in Iran, knowingly setting off a potential massive regional war? And Ben Sasse, the senator from Nebraska, answered Senator Murphy very effectively. He wrote, this tweet is simply drunk partisanship. General Soleimani has killed hundreds and hundreds of Americans and was actively plotting more. That's what Secretary Pompeo, another former Army officer, told us. Senator Sasse concluded, this commander-in-chief has an obligation to defend America by killing this bastard. That's direct, and it seems to me highly relevant. The statement by many of the Democratic candidates for president shows an eagerness to politicize the killing. Bernie Sanders is up with a new statement saying he's going to work to avoid a war. There are some Hollywood celebrities who have tweeted out completely insane and revolting apologies to Iran. No, really, for what we did. Vice President Biden at least tried for an up-the-middle statement, but I don't think he succeeded because a statement is political. He said, no American will mourn Qasem Soleimani's passing. He deserved to be brought to justice for his crimes against American troops and thousands of innocents throughout the region. But Biden then went on to demand, quote, clarity from the White House. President Trump just tossed a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox, wrote the vice president, and he owes the American people an explanation of the strategy and plan to keep safe our troops and embassy personnel, our people and our interests both here and at home and abroad, and our partners throughout the region and beyond, he said. Jim Risch answered that. Jim Risch is the senator from Idaho who's chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Thank God the Republicans control the U.S. Senate right now. Jim Risch says, as I have previously warned the Iranian government, they should not mistake our reasonable restraint in response to their previous attacks as weakness. The U.S. will always vigorously defend our interests and allies in the face of terrorist conduct and provocation. The question is that given the fact, as Ralph Peters said, that we had grounds to kill Soleimani 15 years ago, why did it take so long and why right now? And why right now, I don't believe the wag the dog scenario. I don't believe it's because President Trump wanted to put some kind of gold star on his resume or to advance his presidential campaign. It's because there was an attempt and a very pressing, serious attempt to drive the United States out of the region. Now, you might say that some of the things that President Trump had done before had encouraged the Iranians to believe they could succeed with that. We will get to that issue. We will also have a lot more about the truly idiotic and non-existent, it would seem, Democratic strategy regarding ongoing impeachment. Does this put this that whole impeachment fight into a different and better perspective? We will get to that. We'll play the first part of President Trump's statement, which we're going to grab hold of, and much, much more on a very busy day on The Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776, our number. President Trump just concluded remarks. We'll get to them in a moment. The Washington Post is reporting that earlier today, on Friday, in Tahrir Square in downtown Baghdad, there were celebrations. Of what? Of Soleimani's death. Because there had been anti-government protests. that decried the Iranian influence, and that Iranian influence was centered around Soleimani. The Washington Post also reports those celebrations over Soleimani's death gave way to a darker mood. Many said they now feared a violent assault by Iran-backed militias. The United States is sending an additional 3,500 troops to the Mideast as Iran threatens retaliation. They have said there will be severe vengeance. There will be a crushing blow. The Pentagon said it will deploy 3,500 additional troops to the U.S. It's the 82nd Airborne, I believe. Iran has vowed to retaliate against the United States. The U.S. Embassy in Iraq has called on all U.S. citizens to leave the country immediately. Is this a serious matter? It's a very serious matter. Is it a blow against international terrorism and Islamo-Nazi terrorism? It clearly is. Let me go quickly to Dave in Tacoma, Washington. Dave, you're on the Medved Show.
Happy New Year, Michael.
Happy New Year to you, Dave.
Hey, buddy. I'm listening to all these news broadcasts and all these responses by the left. And from what I recall, when Osama bin Laden was targeted and killed by the Obama administration, they were celebrating in the streets of New York.
And in Washington.
I'm trying to figure out, well, it's not too hard to figure out what the agenda is for these people, but I can't see something more unpatriotic in my life. You know, I look at President Trump, who's commander-in-chief, and he's not doing this on his own. He's getting together with the Pentagon. He's getting together with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and giving recommendations on this. And, you know, I'm incensed at the way people are responding in every single way. And
Have you heard about the Hollywood response yet?
I heard a blurb about the letters or text.
Well, just wait. This is it's really, really remarkable. In fact, stay on the line because you will appreciate this, Dave. Can we do, Greg, a Golden Turkey Award? Because one has definitely been earned here by one Hollywood luminary.
Bigger than the Academy Awards.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank God.
Groovier than the Grammys.
I would like to thank my wonderful agent.
And more powerful than the People's Choice.
I would like to share this with every single senator.
Now, it's time for another Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Woohoo! Thank you so much!
And this goes to two Hollywood stars. One of them, Rose McGowan, who is kind of a has-been actress. She got something of a new lease on life because she was in the news as one of the victims of Harvey Weinstein. But she has authored the following tweet, has Rose McGowan. By the way, she grew up in a very weird religious cult called Children of God. But leave that alone. She tweets out this morning, "Dear hashtag Iran, the USA has disrespected your country, your flag, your people. 52% of us humbly apologize. We want peace with your nation. We are being held hostage by a terrorist regime. We do not know how to escape. Please do not kill us." And then she puts hashtag Soleimani. Okay, and then John Cusack has a whole series of tweets. And John Cusack, another leftist, he tweeted out Trump in full fascist 101 mode. Steal and lie until there's nothing left and start a war. He's so idiotic, he doesn't know he just attacked Iran. And that's not like anywhere else.
His brain is gone.
Okay, Dave, I think this is exactly what you're talking about, and I do agree with you. In other words, people are so obsessed with the politics of it that they are picking this up as another basis not to support our magnificent military, who, by the way, the professionalism and the precision of this operation are remarkable. because the people they took out, yes, they took out a number of other people together with Soleimani, but they were all top leaders. In fact, the second and apparently the fourth most important leaders in his al-Quds force. And by the way, the whole idea of the al-Quds force, just so that people know, what does al-Quds mean in Arabic? Actually, it would be Parsi, and it means the same thing. Al-Quds is the way they refer to Jerusalem. They won't say Jerusalem because that's basically a Hebrew, the traditional Hebrew Jewish name for that city. They refer to the city as al-Quds, the holy. And the al-Quds force is a part of this utterly delusional ideology that the Iranians embrace. Please understand, Jerusalem was never part of Iran, right? It was never part of the Persian Empire. It's never been Persian. And their desire to launch their entire terrorist operation under the name, basically, the Jerusalem Force, has to do with their obsessive anti-Semitism as the leading purveyors of anti-Semitism in the whole world. We have a very explosive and fascinating view of anti-Semitism in America that'll be coming up on our show today. Here is President Trump speaking just moments ago from Florida.
Under my leadership, America's policy is unambiguous to terrorists who harm or intend to harm any American. We will find you. We will eliminate you. We will always protect our diplomats, service members, all Americans, and our allies. For years, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and its ruthless Quds Force under Soleimani's leadership has targeted, injured, and murdered hundreds of American civilians and servicemen. The recent attacks on U.S. targets in Iraq, including rocket strikes that killed an American and injured four American servicemen very badly, as well as a violent assault on our embassy in Baghdad, were carried out at the direction of Soleimani. Soleimani made the death of innocent people his sick passion, contributing to terrorist plots as far away as New Delhi and London. Today, we remember and honor the victims of Soleimani's many atrocities, and we take comfort in knowing that his reign of terror is over.
It is indeed. And President Trump went on.
What the United States did yesterday should have been done long ago.
He's right.
A lot of lives would have been saved. Just recently, Soleimani led the brutal repression of protesters in Iran, where more than 1,000 innocent civilians were tortured and killed by their own government. We took action last night to stop a war. We did not take action to start a war. I have deep respect for the Iranian people. They are a remarkable people with an incredible heritage and unlimited potential. We do not seek regime change. However, the Iranian regime's aggression in the region, including the use of proxy fighters to destabilize its neighbors, must end, and it must end now. The future belongs to the people of Iran, those who seek peaceful coexistence and cooperation, not the terrorist warlords who plunder their nation to finance bloodshed abroad.
That's President Trump speaking today from Florida. What next in this confrontation? We will get to that and more on the Medved Show coming up. Congressman Dan Crenshaw, a decorated war hero, has tweeted out Soleimani, the world's preeminent sponsor of terrorism, is now dead. He spent decades spreading death and destruction across the region, including engineering and providing IEDs to Shia militias in Iraq that were used to kill hundreds of Americans. We could add to seriously injure Congressman Crenshaw. And the idea that we had held back in striking at such an enemy, I think speaks to America's desire for peace and to our restraint. And the question here is, why now? And the answer would appear to be, according to some conversations with individuals who with security experience, apparently there was a great deal of very credible intelligence that the reason he was in Iraq, and understand, he was not killed in Iran, he was killed in Iraq, is because he was in the process of trying to organize various Shiite militias, pro-Iranian militias in Iraq, to drive the Americans out of Iraq altogether. And one of the worst mistakes, I believe, that President Trump has made in his administration so far was announcing that we were simply going to abandon Syria and leave it to the Turks. Look, the Russians, by the way, for those people who believe that that President Trump is just controlled secretly by Vladimir Putin, the Putin regime has condemned this attack. Well, of course they would. And so is Bashar al-Assad, probably the bloodiest tyrant currently ruling anywhere, except maybe for Kim Jong-un. He sent a telegram to Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. And President Bashar Assad of Syria said that the martyr Soleimani will be canonized in the souls of the Syrian people, who will not forget his standing beside the Syrian Arab army. Yes, that same Syrian Arab army that killed at least 500,000. Civilians in the Syrian civil war. Look, it is one of those situations where anybody who follows the situation, it's chilling when you hear a regime like Iran, which does have terrorist assets. Some people believe they even have terrorist assets here in the United States, and they may. It's a chilling proposition when they say we are going to deliver a crushing response. But the greatest danger, as I think a number of commentators have rightly pointed out, the greatest danger is doing nothing. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, had this to say following the killing of General Soleimani.
We gave the Iraqis a real opportunity. We watched these protests over the last months. These protests weren't against America. They were against the terrible leadership that had come out of Iraq over the past decades. And we watched last night, you saw the video of Iraqis dancing in the streets. They're happy too. The absence of Qasem Soleimani is a boon to this region.
Okay, and it long-term should be, and maybe, and God willing, it will be. The notion by the extreme nutburger left, people like Rose McGowan, who tweets out 52% of us, meaning Americans, humbly apologize, we want peace with your nation. I think 100% of Americans want peace with Iran, but not at the cost of surrendering to terror. And not at the cost of surrendering to an evil ideology which menaces the peace of the world and clearly does. And by the way, how does she get 52%? You know, I think people have been polled on that. I think she might be talking about the people who disapprove, according to opinion polls, of the Trump administration. I think if they polled this, however, it wouldn't be 52% who disapprove. Because this is one of those things that in the long term, first of all, it demonstrates extraordinary sophistication and ability on the part of the U.S. military. In other words, if you think about how difficult this is to bring off using drones, and in Iran, where you may remember they were celebrating, they had shot down some American drone before. And The fact that the information that we had was so precise that we were able to hit Soleimani after he got off the plane and to execute this entire operation with such extraordinary precision. Look, that is a great credit to our military and to the upgrades in the military that, yes, have been made under the Trump administration. I think that the one thing people say, well, what will be the impact of this on the presidential campaign? And right now, Bernie Sanders is trying to grab the peace mantle for himself. And the question here becomes, would Americans truly, at a time when our embassies are attacked abroad, would they prefer to have a Bernie Sanders as commander-in-chief who basically has one response to any such attempt to attack American interests and American individuals? The Bernie Sanders response is a white flag. Americans deserve better. And actually, I think as we go into the weekend, I think that Secretary Pompeo is making exactly the right balance, striking exactly the right balance. He's suggesting that at the same time that we struck back, we actually want long-term to de-escalate any conflict and to work out some new nuclear deal with Iran that matters. But when you hear the Iranians talking about some kind of retaliation for the death of a terrorist, then it does demonstrate exactly why it is so crucial to prevent them from acquiring any sort of nuclear weapon or the capacity to deliver those weapons against America or our allies in Europe, the Middle East, and elsewhere. When we come back, there is an ongoing impeachment crisis. And what's fascinating today is I was watching the Senate in session for my crimes. And Mitch McConnell spoke first and spoke very well. And he spoke first about Soleimani, applauding President Trump for his decision. And then he went on to speak about impeachment and his urgent desire to get this impeachment done, put it behind us, go forward. They're still waiting for Nancy Pelosi to come over with the impeachment documents. And it's fascinating that he spoke first about Soleimani applauding it and then about impeachment. Then they had Schumer answered Mitch McConnell. And Senator Schumer from New York spoke first about Soleimani, basically condemning it. And then went on to talk much, much, much more about impeachment and how guilty the Trump administration was. The impeachment matter must be resolved. How? We'll be speaking with Noah Rothman of Commentary Magazine, not to be confused with Noah Feldman, who was one of those legal experts for the Democrats. He's saying Nancy Pelosi has lost the plot. We'll get to that and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.